Ma'am, just out the rip, you realize that the original purpose of a woman was to be a helpmate to a man. It wasn't to be strong and independent. It wasn't to be out here in the streets doing backflips on Tyrone and front flips on Chad. It wasn't to do these things, okay? By your own admission. But yet, for some reason, we're kind of dressed like a skeezer. Why is that? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to look at Christian theology, and we're going to discuss why, in my humble opinion, Christian theology must adapt and it must change. Now, the reason I say this is not because I want to be self-serving, not because I want to live a debaucherous life. None of these are true. Unfortunately, we live in a world that doesn't line up with what is outlined in the Torah, what is outlined in the law, what is outlined by Paul, what is outlined by all of these people who are very credible in the Bible. And even though I hate to say this, not only do we not live in a culture that supports it, we don't even live in a culture that supports marriage, that supports relationships. And not only does it not support those things, it supports feminism. It supports the degradation of the nuclear family. I've dubbed this the crimson Christianity culture. In other words, it's crimson Christianity. It's the communists kind of infusing their ideology of equality, the DEI type of stuff, with the traditional norms of Christianity, but heightening the idea of love, heightening the idea of acceptance and tolerance without the fire, without the brimstone, without the righteous holy fire that even Jesus himself showed when he was in his ministry. Now, I'm not a theologian, not a scholar, I'm just another ordinary man, and I want to make it very clear, you're fully free to disagree with me, and I guarantee you a lot of you will disagree with me. But you know what? That's good, because we need to find the balance between the ideals and reality. I deal more in reality. You might say, well, Austin, well, this is what it should be, and if we only did something like this, then it would be better. I don't deal in those terms. On this show, we talk about, here's what is actually happening. Here's what we're actually seeing. Here's how things play out in the real world in real time. And how do we adapt to it as men? Not from a, oh, here's what you should do, and what if you only did this? No, 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 no. See, that's disingenuous. Because you're making it sound like it's all in our power as men to change the culture, change the ideas that women hold dear, change the education, the entertainment, the indoctrination. We can't change these things on our own. And unfortunately, a lot of men in the church are very weak. They're henpecked. Jeremy, before we get into the videos and the Bible verses I have showed up for today, let me ask you a question. How many of you as men, whether you've gone to church recently, haven't, don't care, let me ask you something. How many times have you been told by a man who is out of shape, henpecked, hadn't been in the dating marketplace in a long time, how many of you, whether you're young or old, have been told by a guy who's been married for a long time, or he's so far into the ideology of what should be that he has no concept of reality, no idea about what's going on in these streets, no regard for the actual experiences of men who are going through it in the trenches right now? And you look at him and you think to yourself, wait a minute, this dude's out of shape, out of touch with reality, has no regard to listen to what I care about, what I'm struggling with, what I'm facing, the fact that women are not the same, don't have the same standards, they don't have the same teachings, they don't live in the same world that they did if they're above the age of 40. They want to pretend like none of these things are relevant, and you as a man should just go for it. Don't care, don't ask too many questions, just live balls out and do it. And you know what I say to that? That's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's unbelievably ridiculous, reckless, it's stupid. I don't want that weak brand of Christianity on this channel. I don't want it. Because at the end of the day, that is what has led to the affirming churches sprouting up like weeds in a garden. That is what is leading to people thinking, oh, it's okay to exhibit behaviors that got Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. So what? We're loving. You know, it's all about love, man. Well, where's the love for me? No. You see how stupid this is? But you know what? I'll stop riffing. Let's get into what I had prepared for the show today. So, you know how I normally jump into a video? We'll get into a video in a second, but the first thing I want to do is show you this, okay? What you're looking at are quotes from Genesis, the Torah. You might say that this has no relevance to Christianity. Well, you're wrong, because both Islam and Christianity stem from Judaism. So we must look at the source material. Let's look at Genesis. Here's a quote from Genesis 2:18. It says, "It is not good for a man to be alone." That is true. However, let's look at this. How many men actually want to be alone? With the MGTOW movement, I consider myself a kind of MGTOW-like. However, I have a little bit of a different philosophy completely when it comes to being MGTOW. But my friends, let's be real for a second. How many of us want to be alone? Like completely and utterly alone. All the time, every day. I don't think any of us do all the time. Some of us want a little bit of respite, a little bit of attention, a little bit of, fun time in the sheets. We want these things, right? Of course we do. However, in the society we live in today, you as a man are told you have all the privilege in the world, but yet can't seem to find a way to so-called play this privilege card that they say that you have. And you look around and you say, wait a minute, the women are winning in everything, pretty much. Society wants women to win. And if you as a man get anywhere close to winning, they try to penalize you, they try to take you to court, they try to do all these things. And I'm not telling you to be a victim. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm not saying this to be like, oh, just be a victim and accept being a member of the Victim Olympics. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm wanting you to understand the world you live in and understand that if you think this way already, you're not alone at all. In fact, you're very much in good company. Well, my friends, let's return to Genesis chapter 2. It says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Gentlemen, we need to understand that this came at a time in history when, number one, there was strong male leadership, that's number one, and number two, women kept other women in check. We don't live in that society anymore. There might be some cultures in some areas of the world that are less developed, but in America, we don't have this anymore. In my father and grandfather's generation, this existed. This does not exist anymore. There used to be women in the church. Even when I was like a young kid, like in the early 2000s, there was a time when women wouldn't basically dress like they just came from the gym, or dress like, to show show their chesticles in the church. They used to dress with respect, with modesty, but now they basically dress like they just got off the pole at the club and they show up at church, and they want to pretend like you're the perv if you look at it. They want to pretend like you're the bad guy if you're like, wait a minute, what the hell's going on here? What am I looking at? Why is this here? They call you the problem if you say anything. Gentlemen, we need to understand something. Christian theology has been very watered down. The fire and the brimstone is not popular anymore. What's popular in the church today is love, acceptance, tolerance. All of the things, the attributes of God that sound good and make you feel good are amplified. Everything that comes with actually, being accountable, enforcing the laws set forward in the Old Testament and then reinforced some of them in the New Testament. All of these things are thrown out the window. Pastors are inclined to say, New Testament, great. Old Testament, we can like take it or leave it. It's not super important. I don't buy that at all. The Old Testament's extremely important because if you don't have a code of conduct that you live by, you could be a biblical bachelor like me, or you could be a staunch fundamentalist in the Christian church or anywhere else that you want. You need a philosophy in this life if you want to survive. If you want to have something to build your life on, you can't do it if you don't have a philosophy that you follow. And when we look at the Torah, that's what it was supposed to be. It wasn't just pray to God. It was pray to God. It was sacrifices for sin. It was going and making sure that these norms were followed. What was outlined in the law was followed, not just because God wanted to be in control, but because it was meant to protect people from themselves. One of the roles of husbands is to keep their wife protected from herself and her own bad choices. You might not like that, but that's unfortunately what is actually required. Just look at how the mistakes that women who are single tend to make with them being rebellious. They're willing to live in a box under a bridge instead of listening to you as a man, partially because of the feminist programming and partially because they're very rebellious by nature. And that's why one of the curses set forward by God in Genesis was for a woman to be subservient to her husband. And when he said that your lust will be for your husband, but he will rule over you, she wasn't saying she was going to want to jump his bones every 2 seconds. What he was saying was she would want to tussle with him for power, for dominance. Gentlemen, this is nothing new, and a lot of you probably already know this. But it's important that we discuss this, because this is not discussed in the church anymore, where a lot of the communist talking points, the Crimson Christianity is king, where they talk about love and acceptance and tolerance and forgiveness, not the fire and the brimstone and the accountability and the judgment. Where is that in the church today? Nowhere. When's the last time you heard a pastor call out a woman for being a skeezer and a total whore? When was the last time you heard that? I haven't. When was the last time you heard a guy say, oh, you men, you need to step up. You need to wife these women. You're not doing it right. You need to be a better man, a better father, a better giver to the church, a better man in the community. I hear that a lot. It's called shifting the blame to the man, which actually falls right in line with what Marx and Engels talked about in the Communist Manifesto, which is why I bring it up, because it's incredibly relevant. And not a lot of people understand that one of the subversion tactics that Marxists, Leninists, Trotskyites, whatever you want to call them, they do, is they use nice language to basically dissect you and dilute you and to confuse you. They use confusion to cultivate chaos. Speaking of chaos, let's get back into the crazy world we're living in by looking at some more of these verses. Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, I'll be honest with you guys, a lot of women love these passages because they're very romantic. Romance for women is extremely dangerous because it gives them a false image of what is actually going to happen in the day-to-day. See, it's really easy to make a marriage work really early on when you still have the hots for each other, the passion's still there, the physical attraction's there, all the excitement. It's like a brand new car. You love driving the car at the beginning, it's great. But then it starts to get a little mundane, a little boring, a little normal, and then before you know it, you're basically roommates. Now, again, does that mean that every marriage will fail? Of course not. But what it does mean is the men are not being warned of this reality. And what they're also not being warned about is, well, let's jump into a video, shall we? Let's look at this. I'll show this on the screen. I would play the video, the 6 seconds of it, but it has music and I don't want to copyright. Let's look at the unpopular boundaries that this Christian couple says they have. We do not text or DM the opposite gender without telling our spouse. Okay. They say they embrace traditional biblical roles. Okay, that's good. She's supposed to submit and he leads. Okay, so far so good. We do not entertain conversations that dishonor our spouse. I don't know what that means, but we'll take their word for it. No one-on-one alone time with a member of the opposite gender besides family. I don't know if I believe that, but okay. No plans or decisions are made without first discussing them together. Wait a minute. That's not leading then. He's not leading if you're living in a democracy relationship. If it's a powwow, that's not leadership. The man is supposed to make the call. That's the whole point. Not let the woman backseat drive. That's not how this works. Again, now we're conflicting. We validate each other's feelings and emotions when we disagree. No matter which one of us is wrong. Mm-hmm. See, gentlemen, women are not actually attracted to this. Just so you know. Especially early on in life, women are not attracted to that. All you gotta do is look at the men they choose. You don't have to take my word for it. You're a young guy. Go to your high school. Go to your college. Go and look and see what dudes are getting the attention from women. Not the guy who's talking about emotional boundaries and validating your feelings. No, that's not the guy. The guy is doing the exact opposite of that. He's toxic. By every definition, he's usually a baller, or he's rich, or he's whatever. That's the guy getting the attention. That is the guy who is getting the intimacy and getting the attention from women. I'm letting it... Look, I understand. This is not something you like to hear. This is reality is like good medicine. It tastes lousy, but it helps cure the disease. In this case, the disease is the fantasies you've been fed, and the medicine is the harsh reality that you're probably going to be like, just like when you take good medicine, you're like, wow, that was bitter. Yeah, that is what reality is. When we have conversations like this, and you listen to either me or anybody else on this side of the internet, or you do your own research, you're going to have that moment of like, wow, that was a tough pill to swallow. That was kind of bitter. But you realize that it was for the greater good, and it helped you learn something, and it made you a better man. See, but I wish I could tell you that women love men who are emotionally available, who care about them, who would give them the world, but the unfortunate reality is this is untrue. Might be true when they're 40 or 30, but it's not when they're in their prime. No, because that's boring. There's an old saying that goes, you can do anything to a woman but bore her, and this is boring to women. Not exciting. She doesn't have anything to talk about her girlfriends to. She doesn't have anything to complain about. She doesn't have anything to say that she's trying to fix you. None of that is there. And women secretly love that, by the way. But let's go into this video. Some of you might know this guy. I think his name is Michael Todd. He's a pastor. Let's see what he has to say about relationships.
You can tell that if this fool you messing with is supposed to be in your life, if this relationship is helping you. We tolerate more relationships that are taking away from us, that are stealing our peace, that are ravaging our joy, that have us up at night. Oh my God, I think he's gonna break up. Break up with him.
Oh no, brother, please. He's trying to negotiate, talk women out of dating Pookie. That's what essentially what he's doing. Gentlemen, as much as I would love to sit here on this show right now and tell you that if you just treat a woman with respect and admiration and you're there for her and you do all these things that she's going to reward you, the answer is she's not going to, at least not for very long, if at all. Women like the man he just described. Why? They're exciting. They're edgy. There's an element of like, oh, I could change him. Kind of like the Beauty and the Beast syndrome. Women love that. Women love damaged men, just like a lot of men love toxic women. This is not something that is often discussed, but let's let him continue before I start really cooking. Let's see if he has anything else to add that maybe I will say without him, me knowing he's about to say it.
He's not helping you. She's not helping. They're my friends. They are fly. They are fake. They are not helping you.
No offense, ma'am, you kind of sound like you got some sugar in your tank. I'm just going to leave it at that.
So it doesn't take a word from God. If the people you're around keeping you stuck to your chains, they're not. If you're praying that God will remove symptoms of the people that you hang around, they're not helping you. And God wants every relationship in your life. He wants one of your goals to be that the relationships help you succeed.
See, here's the problem. People like junk food, whether it's their relationships, whether it's the actual food in their diet. People like junk. Could be junk reality TV, could be junk food. It could be even junk conversation, junk social media. People like junk. So when he's trying to tell, and did you notice there was a lot of women in the crowd being like, yes, yes. It's because he's talking to the women. The women know this at an early age. He's not telling them anything they don't already know. Let's go to this comment section. What's in this dude's comment section? Here's his comment section. Woman. 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 See, you get the picture. Look at this. All these women in this comment section. Why? Because this is the kind of stuff that appeals to women, not to men. Because, again, he's making it sound like the man is supposed to be the helper to the woman to fix her, to get her on the right path. Gentlemen, if you're trying to negotiate with women, if you're trying to convince a broad to get on your program, to get on board with your plan that you have, you are losing. Because there is no reason why you should be trying to convince somebody else, let alone a woman who, most women are wild horses. And it takes a significant amount of time and effort to get their attention. And a lot of men are checking out of that. They're saying, why in the world would I waste my time, my energy, my attention, my meat? Shout out to Coach Greg Adams. Wasting my meat, my money, energy, attention, and time. Why would I waste these things instead of saying, you know what? Instead of chasing these women, trying to get them to see my value, see my program, see what I'm doing, see the benefits of being with me, I'm going to just do my own thing. And when I start to win, then they're going to come back, and now I have the power. See, when we're young, guys, it's very easy for us to say, I want a woman to build with me. I want a woman to marry me. I want to live and be a good man. Let me tell you something with being a good man. As a guy who grew up being taught to be a good man, let me tell you something. Good men are taken for granted. They are used. And they are not appreciated until they're laying in a casket. That's when you're appreciated. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and be a complete POS. Not telling you to be a dirtbag. Not telling you to do any of those things. What I am telling you is the truth about what women want that you probably already know. And my friends, the whole point of this conversation is not to have me tell you what you should do. We can have that conversation. I talked about it in my book, Biblical Bachelor. I'm going to be talking about it again in my upcoming book, Beat the Beta, which I'm working on right now. Yeah, I'm working on another book because this is a passion for me. I'm not here to tell you this is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do. I mean, I can do that, and I kind of do, but I don't do it overtly. Because at the end of the day, every man has his own struggles. And most men are super hard-headed, and they don't want to listen. Women are even worse. Women don't listen to men. When was the last time you had any conversation with a woman, and she actually listened to what you said and changed something she was doing? I would love to hear it, because it doesn't really happen. It doesn't really happen. And just to prove my point, let's listen to what this woman says about her biblical relationships. Let's see if you think she learned anything.
When God sends you someone, here are five things that confirm that they're from God. The first thing is that they help you to walk in your purpose. We see in Genesis that God gave Adam Eve as a helpmate. And as a helpmate, they're there to help you, support you, encourage you, and help you to walk in the plan and purpose that God has for you.
Okay, ma'am, just out the rip, you realize that the original purpose of a woman was to be a helpmate to a man. It wasn't to be strong and independent. It wasn't to be out here in the streets doing backflips on Tyrone and front flips on Chad. It wasn't to do these things, okay? By your own admission. But yet, for some reason, we're kind of dressed like a skeezer. Why is that?
Number two, they show all the signs of the fruits of the Spirit. So that does include self-control, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, love, joy, and peace.
Gentlemen, that list she just made of fruits of the Spirit, yeah, those are all things that women actively avoid when they're young, just so you know. Oh yeah, they'll chase the dudes who do exactly the opposite. If you want to get, you know what, I'm going to go on my toxic tirade for 2 seconds. If you want to get women as a young guy, let's go back and look at that list one more time. And if you want to be toxic, do exactly the opposite of everything. Be the exact opposite of everything she just described. Let's listen again.
Include self-control, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, love, joy, and peace.
Gentlemen, if you really want to get women's attention, do the exact opposite of what she just said. Just so my 2 seconds of being toxic are over, but I'm just going to tell you, if you really want to get attention and vagina from women, do the opposite of what she just said.
Number three, you guys can overcome trials and battles together. Here's the thing.
In other words, how much of my BS is he going to put up with, and how many of my problems that I most likely statistically got myself into is he going to bail me out of?
When the relationship is from God, the enemy is going to continue to throw attacks in hopes that it doesn't prosper. But at the end of the day, if the relationship is from God, there is nothing the enemy can do to break it. Number four, they help you to become a better person. They want to see your relationship with God grow. They care about your soul. They want to see your soul in heaven. And the fifth thing...
Okay, gentlemen, I got to address this point. I got to do it. That is not what you think it was. What she was saying right there is that is a free pass for her to critique and complain about everything that you do. Gentlemen, let me ask you something. Do you want a woman who's going to be like a second boss to you when you show back up at the house? was going to tell you, here's what you didn't do right, here's what you could have done better, here's what I wish you would have done, and all that when you come home from working your job? Probably not, right? Well, that's what she just said, that she's going to do for you, for your own good. Yeah, no thank you. I'm good.
The thing is that you trust them wholeheartedly. You're not going to have all these random gut feelings that that person is doing something behind your back.
In other words, she's telling on herself and she's saying that she's dealt with men who were exciting and edgy and who cheated on her. Just, again, they don't tell you these things overtly. You got to read between the lines. And if you disagree with me, I'm sorry. You just either A, are clueless, or B, you just haven't encountered it yet.
Or that they're lying to you. You're going to have so much peace about that relationship.
Which means she's going to be bored.
You have to remember that God is not a God of confusion. And so if that relationship is sent to you from him, then there's going to be zero confusion about it.
Yeah, which means she's going to get bored. Again, gentlemen, this is what I'm talking about adapting. Theology must adapt to understand these realities that we have outlined just on this show, much less the countless other episodes we've done on the show. The reason it must adapt is because people don't work this way anymore. There is no community to enforce these rules. There is no law to enforce these rules. The state runs the marriage system. The state is the one who is indoctrinating via the education and through monitoring the entertainment into turning women against this and become more crimson Christian than traditional Christian and conservative Christian. My friends, this is the unfortunate reality of the church. The church sold out during the bug, during the Chinese virus that came through a couple years ago, you might remember it. Church sold out. Many churches, if not all, sold out for their tax-exempt status. And now they want to come back and they want to be like, oh, don't worry, guys, we're still holy, even though a lot of us are flying Rainbow Rider flags. So what? We're about love. We're about acceptance. We're about tolerance. Are you a bigot? Is that why you don't like it? No, I'm just actually read the Bible and I know that that's not how it actually works. But you know what? Maybe I'm just toxic. Am I toxic? I don't know. Maybe. Am I a scholar? I don't know. I'll leave that up to you. But my friends, in the meantime, I'd love to hear your comments, your thoughts about this, because this affects a lot of men. And unfortunately, it's not a subject that's popular to discuss because people are afraid of offending women, afraid of offending traditional Christians who they read the passage once and they fail to understand that there's a whole culture, there's context, there's the language interpretation, there's all these different things, but apparently they know everything. My friends, you take care of yourselves. Please share your thoughts. Please share your feedback. And if you like what you heard, you already know what to do. You made it this far, you probably liked it. Otherwise, you would have probably clicked out the video and rage quit already. My friends, take care of yourselves, and the one thing I'll leave you with is please, think with your brain, not with below your belt. It will save your life. Take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.